This afternoon we'll hear God's Word proclaimed as the Church confesses it in Lord's Day 50 of the Heidelberg Catechism, page 562 in your Book of Praise. Lord's Day 50. Question 125 asks, what is the fourth petition? And our answer is, give us this day our daily bread. That is, provide us with all our bodily needs, so that we may acknowledge that you are the only fountain of all good, and that our care and labor and also your gifts cannot do us any good without your blessing. Grant, therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it only in you. May God bless the reading of his word, the reading of the confession of the church, as well as the proclamation of his word. This afternoon, following the sermon, we'll respond by singing from hymn 64, the stanzas 1 and 2. Beloved brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus Christ, as I was writing this sermon earlier this week, our Prime Minister had just finished invoking the Emergencies Act. Now, over the past weeks, we all know what's been happening. We know what's happened since that Emergency Act was enacted. We know about the Cross Canada Convoy protests all across our country, with the largest being in our nation's capital of Ottawa. Now, it's been a time of turmoil. It's been a time of upheaval, of great uncertainty. And it's a time that's followed 2 years in which our normal lives have been radically affected in our worship, in our personal interactions, in our work in so many ways, in our schooling, whether it's elementary school or high school or college, university, our ability to fulfill the positive commands of God's Word has been hindered in many ways. We've been officially forbidden from rejoicing with those who rejoice, from mourning with those who mourn, from visiting the sick, from comforting the afflicted, from providing consolation to the lonely, from fulfilling God's second great commandment, which is to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, one important question that we need to ask, and a question for which we do have an answer, is this one. And that's the question that children love to ask, but we all love to ask this question. That question is why? Why has all this happened? How did we get here? Now, there are a number of possible answers to that question, answers that deal with the small parts of the equation, but really not with the bigger picture. And this afternoon, we'll consider the bigger picture in the light of what we as church confess in Lord's Day 50 about the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Because this is a very important contributing factor to the situation in which we find ourselves. Because we live in a nation which has largely forgotten that our daily bread comes from the Lord and not from anyone or from anything else. And we begin this petition with the word give. And with using that word, beginning with that word, acknowledges that everything we have comes from God's fatherly hand. We're acknowledging God's providential care for all of his creation. And we confess in answer 27 of the Heidelberg Catechism about God's providence that it is his almighty and ever-present power whereby, as with his hand, he still upholds heaven and earth and all creatures, and so governs them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, food and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, indeed, all things come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. So it all comes from him. He's the source. He's the provider. He's the father who loves to provide what his children need. Now, living in the light of God's word, living in the light of the fourth petition, means living in a state of complete dependence on him. Understanding that we can only receive and that only he can give. Only he can provide. sinful humanity has always desired independence. And this has been the case since the fall of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the garden. Adam and Eve tried to put themselves in the place of God. And they were fooled by the deceiver who asked that question which is so well known, which has been repeated ever since by God's enemies. Has God really said? And when we pray to our Heavenly Father that He give us this day our daily bread, we're reminded that we are not independent operators. And in fact, we're reminded of the fact that just the opposite is the case. We are completely and utterly dependent on God for everything that we have physically and spiritually. And He wants us to ask Him to provide these things in our dependent state. Now, when we pray that God provide us with all our daily needs, we may sometimes question the necessity for praying this petition. And that can lead us to a very serious omission in our life of prayer. And we all struggle with our life of prayer. And over the past few weeks, I believe you've been hearing about prayer in the Catechism and probably have heard this already. This struggle with prayer is a universal human condition to greater and lesser degrees. Now, there may have been times in your life when you haven't prayed to the Lord for your daily bread. And there may have even been extended periods in your life when you haven't come to the Lord to ask Him to provide for any of your needs. And yet, strangely, your basic needs were still provided for. You had enough to eat. You had shelter. You had a home to live in. You had clothing. You remained safe and warm and comfortable. And when this happens, you may be led to ask in times of doubt why you should pray for these things when they seem to come automatically. And we also see many unbelievers who never pray this prayer or anything like it or think about it. They may never even acknowledge that all of their daily needs are being provided by the Lord. And what happens? We see them prospering. They never ask, but they sure do receive. If you work hard enough, it seems, you can be successful. And if you don't work hard enough in our country, the government will provide for you. So God basically is removed from the equation completely. But that daily bread is still there. Now, how many people in our country are actually going hungry? The answer to that is very few. And when we think about this state of affairs, we need to remember that God deals with unbelievers in a very different way than He deals with us as His children. Even if we're sometimes forgetful, and even if sometimes we're ungrateful, and even if sometimes we doubt, God still deals with us differently. He deals with the world differently. Because in His providence, God provides for all of His creatures. He provides for the most insignificant animals. Psalm 104, verse 21, speaks about the king of the beasts, the lions. They roar for their prey, and they seek their food from God. It's God who provides for them. So He provides for the animals from the smallest to the greatest. But He also especially provides for every human being. In Acts chapter 14, verse 17, we read the Apostle Paul speaking to the people of Lystra, and he says this, "Yet he, God, did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." Now, these words weren't spoken to believers. They were spoken to idol-worshipping pagans. God sent rain to them when it was necessary. God is the one who made their crops grow and thrive. God is the one who satisfied their hearts with food and gladness. But all the while, brothers and sisters, they never prayed to Him, not once, "Give us this day our daily bread." But I mentioned that God deals differently with unbelievers than He does with us. Because when unbelievers do not acknowledge their dependence on God, every supposed blessing that comes their way is actually just one more bit of guilt that's added to their debt. They may be receiving earthly blessings, but those blessings are actually transformed into curses when they're not acknowledged as coming as a result of God's pure goodness from Him. So when we as Christians, when we receive God's good gifts without ever asking for them, or when we don't ask for them, it should drive us more and more to repentance in the first place, and then to give thanks to Him for the totally undeserved favor that we have received from His hand. And that favor shows itself not only in our physical life, but most especially in our spiritual life. And so we pray to God, we pray, give, and we receive. And we receive everything that is necessary. It's absolutely everything. There's nothing excepted from that. This is a universal rule. It's not limited to food. It's not limited to drink. It's not limited to clothing. It's not limited to any one of these things. It includes our health. It includes the way that we make a living. It includes the physical and the mental gifts that we need to do that. So God's provision of our daily bread, as we can see, is all-encompassing. It doesn't mean a life of luxury. He gives us what we need. But it means that God promises us a life in which we can trust that He will care for us, that He will provide for us when we put our trust in Him. And so that brings me back to what I mentioned in the introduction to this sermon. And that question about how we got into the state in which we are as a nation of Canada. How did we get here? We've gotten here because people have turned their backs on God. And they've instead placed their hope and placed their trust in other things. They've created idols to whom or to which they look to provide them with their daily bread. Instead of willingly bowing and seeking their daily bread from the one who Himself is willing and ready and lovingly gives to all those who love Him, to those who love Him because He first loved us, they look to other things. And when people worship idols, it's an inevitable fact. You can't avoid this. Idol worship leads to fear. Now, that's been proven throughout history. We may not think much about it in our culture. In our culture, physical idols of stone and wood and precious metals are pretty much a thing of the past. We've supposedly progressed way beyond that kind of primitive superstition. But the question is, have we really progressed that much? In fact, humanity has not progressed at all. Our modern idols are conceptual. They're concepts. They're ideological. They're ideas and ideals. Or they're political. They're not Baals in the form of a bull or a calf. They're not Ashtaroths in the form of a pole. They're not the superhuman Greek gods created in man's image that lived on Mount Olympus. But since the fall into sin, idols, whatever they may be, whatever form they take or do not take, and their worship of them has only resulted ever in fear and uncertainty. And this is inevitable when people put their trust in someone or in something that is not God. So what do we see? Well, we see a country, and we see, in fact, much of the world living in fear. We see our country seeking its daily bread from the government. It's the government who protects us. It's the government who provides for us. It's the government who provides us with our daily needs, from cradle to the grave. It's the great God of the government who looks after us. It's our government that so many people look to provide them with their daily bread. or it's science. Science will deliver us from what troubles us and will provide us with what we need. The scientists become the great high priests of this false religion, and it is to them that the world looks for solutions to our fear and anxiety about what tomorrow will bring. But then within the sciences, there's another wing, and that's medicine. And here in Canada, the false god of medicine works in combination with the false god of the state, the false god of science. We confess that our sickness and our health come to us from God's fatherly hand. And we confess and we give thanks to God for this, that we have nothing to fear, because that is the case. Even if we do get sick, even if we do suffer, we know and we rejoice in the fact that God is in control of it. This too comes from His fatherly hand. The fact is, brothers and sisters, we may and we do get sick. We do suffer. But in all of that, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to flee from any and every possible threat, however minute that threat may possibly be, because we have a perspective on life that only complete dependence on God can bring. And so we can live as those who are truly free. We can live with uncertainty because we fear God and we need not fear anyone or anything else, because we know without a doubt that He will provide everything that is necessary for us, body and soul. So first of all, idolatry leads to fear. But secondly, it leads to foolishness. And we see it in ourselves when we become anxious about tomorrow. What tomorrow? What is tomorrow going to bring? We see that foolishness growing. Strangely, as we grow in wealth, as we begin to imagine that we can accomplish all of these things on our own. But thankfully, God keeps those who are His, who belong to Him. He keeps us from stumbling completely and falling completely. And He brings us back to a place of humble repentance. We may stumble, but He is always there for us. But the foolishness of the world, it only grows when it dives headlong into ungodly idolatry. Fear is a bad counselor. And decisions made from fear, from a place of fear, that hopeless fear that is the fruit of idolatry, decisions made from that place are bound to be foolish. So, brothers and sisters, may what's happening in the world around us serve as a warning and serve as a reminder for us about what happens when people forget to seek the Lord for their daily bread and instead make a futile attempt to find it elsewhere. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, the prophet Jeremiah tells us what happens, exactly what happens when people do that. He says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the Lord, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves," or wells for themselves, "broken cisterns that can hold no water." The source of living water is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, as He said. But foolish man so often wants to find his own water instead of looking for the living water that provides real refreshment and that really can satisfy a human being's thirst. And so instead of looking to Christ, they dig their own wells. And those wells are like the false gods that people look to provide for them. They can't provide what they promise. They're like wells that can't hold any water. Try as you might, if you've got a leaky cistern, you're not going to be able to fill it up, no matter how much water you put in it. Only in Christ is this satisfying, fully satisfying, and life-giving water to be found. Only He, and nothing and no one else, can provide. He Himself is the bread of life who came down from heaven. And that's bread that really fills. When we trust in Him, we lose our fear, whether it be fear of sickness or fear of what tomorrow may bring or fear of political problems or fear of not being able to care for ourselves. When we gain true wisdom, we gain true wisdom on the path of trust in Him. We gain true insight into what's really wrong with the world and what can and what has been done about it. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only answer. And so we pray. We pray, give us this day our daily bread. And we pray especially for this day or today. And that word reminds us that we're praying for the needs of the moment. We're not praying about what's coming down the road in the future. And so we're led to pray. We must pray this prayer each and every day. We ask God to provide us with our daily needs, and in doing that, we are expressing our trust that He will continue to provide for us in the future. And so when we pray, give us today or this day our daily bread, we don't need to worry about what's going to happen next week. We don't need to worry about what's going to happen next month or next year or 10 years down the road. Because as the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, He said, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, the Lord Jesus said, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And that's what life needs to be like, brothers and sisters. That's what it can be like for us. As God's forgiven people in Jesus Christ, we first of all don't have to worry about the past, because our past sins have been completely forgiven and dealt with and removed and forgotten. So we don't have to dwell in the past because the Lord Jesus has dealt with our past. And we don't have to also worry about the future, because the Lord has promised us in no uncertain terms that He will bring to completion the good work that He has begun in us. So we don't have to worry about the past, and we don't have to worry about the future, but we also don't have to worry about the present. Because today, the Lord will provide us with what we need, whether it's for our physical needs or whether it's our need for the emotional and spiritual strength to deal with whatever challenges we may face. And we have lived for several generations in a country in which the fridges are always stocked with food, and the supermarkets are full with a wide range of choices that we could just go and pick up. No one goes hungry. That supermarket is only a short drive away. And in a society like ours, it becomes obvious that physical blessings can and do indeed become a curse. There's a reason why, in that passage we read in Proverbs, why Agur prayed, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." Brothers and sisters, we need to be very clear on this point. Canada as a nation has become full and has denied the Lord. And God has given us all, within the church and outside of it, a wake-up call that is ringing loud and clear. And so we should be very thankful for that. We should make very good use of this moment in our history to bring the message of the bread of life and the water, the living water, to our unbelieving neighbors. And we should be redirected personally here within and among us once again to humble dependence on Him. The alternative is a life of foolishness and fear in the here and now and facing the wrath of God for all eternity. So this call is serious, and this call goes out to each and every one of us. Why do I emphasize that fact? Well, I emphasize that fact because it's so very easy for us to look out into the world and see what the problems are in the world, and for us to proclaim that Canada has by and large forgotten that their daily bread comes from the Lord. Well, that's easy. But that's them. What about us? What about me? What about you? Self-examination must always come first. And that self-examination must be followed by repentance, by confession of our sin, of a lack of trust in the Lord who provides us with our daily bread. But not stopping there. It starts with confession of sin, and it continues with fleeing from the sins that have taken over the world and have led to so much fear and to so much foolishness. And then continuing on to fall at the feet of the true King, the Lord Jesus Christ, who really does provide everything that we need and so much more. And God may, and He does, bring us into difficult times. And His provision of our daily bread may not be what we're expecting. It may not be what we're used to. It may come in a form that we don't expect. But He does that for a very good reason. He does that for His own perfect reasons. He does that because of our natural tendency to place way too much trust in man and to place way too little trust in Him. And so He may put us in a position, brothers and sisters, in which we may have to suffer, in which we may have to wonder where our next meal is going to come from. He may put us into those difficult positions. But if He does this, and if He does that to any one of us, or if He does that to all of us, He will do this because He loves us. Because He wants to call us back to Him. Because He wants us to experience His deliverance. He wants us to know the depths, the profound depths of the reality of the confession that we make at the beginning of each and every worship service, that our help really is in the name of the Lord who has made the heavens and the earth. And it's not found in anyone or in anything else. And whether He does that or whether He doesn't do that, let us never forget that our daily bread comes from Him. If we're healthy, that health comes from Him. And He may use other means to provide us with health, be it medicine or surgery or something like that. But it's not to the means themselves that we look to provide us with health. It's to Him. If we have enough food to eat, that comes from Him. And that food may come to us because of our own money. We can make our own paycheck when we work faithfully at our job. But it's not our job and it's not our effort that is the ultimate provider. It's Him. And we see what happens when people mistake the means that God uses for the God who uses them. And the results are not good, and they can only lead to destruction. So let us seek the Lord. Let us urge others to do the same as well. Let us pray the fourth petition with confidence. And let's do that knowing that the Lord will certainly provide us with everything that we need and that we have nothing to fear. Amen.